I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is November 28th, 2024, and I'm going to try and restrict myself to just two topics today. The first I will introduce by saying, when a child has an imaginary friend, we do not tell the child that the imaginary friend is real. We encourage them to engage with their imagination, but we also reinforce reality. And some unfortunate number of people in this world will become schizophrenic or suffer some other mental disorder. Specifically, with schizophrenics, we don't tell them the voices are real. We encourage them to anchor themselves in reality, and we try to give them drugs that will help them engage with reality in a more productive way. We try to help them. But when it comes to this notion that children are born in the wrong body and that they should engage with so-called hormone therapy, which will give them an increased chance of cancer and heart disease, which will destroy their natural bodies, which will stunt puberty, which will render them sterile, chasing an illusion. We are supposed to suspend common sense, and we are only supposed to support and provide an answer that says, yes, go ahead and pursue this madness. There is an individual who I have never named who is raising children that they are born in the wrong body, who has a seat in the Saskatchewan legislature and is now, once again, putting his family on public display and demanding that the premier apologize to him as though he was somehow targeted and his family was targeted. The premier never named him. People like me have never named him. He named himself. And because he is addicted to attention, he put his family on public display. And it's shameful. Now, that's all I'll say about that. But this is a message for the premier and for the Saskatchewan Party, which I voted for, and which the rural areas in this province turned out in massive numbers to support you. And one of the reasons that they did that, it's not just the good governance, it's not just the very good things that come out of this government, which I'll talk about in due time. One of those things was the protection and the restoration of sanity, because sanity has slipped in this province, even under the Saskatchewan Party's watch. The fact of the matter is, if you are somebody who wants to destroy your children in this way, there are plenty of options in Canada available to you. British Columbia and Ontario stand out, but there are other jurisdictions and other provinces which are more than happy to reinforce your delusion. One of the beautiful things about Federation, one of the beautiful things about the provinces, is if this country operated as designed, each jurisdiction would have its own unique lifestyle and set of rules. I've talked before about how Saskatchewan represents a distinct society similar to Quebec in this country because of its values, because of its agrarian roots, because of its history. Dare I say, the most sane form of socialism, maybe in world history, to ever be created, was created right here in this province. Now, that's long gone. The NDP in Saskatchewan is just as radical as the NDP at the federal level and is just as radical as any so-called progressive socialist movement that has any popular support or traction in this world today. They're on the wane because they've lost sight of reality. They've lost sight of the roots. They've lost sight of sanity. Saskatchewan has an opportunity to be a mecca. Let me tell you, as somebody who uprooted everything, I gave up everything. I gave up my business. Many of the members of my family still punish me to this day because we decided to uproot and move here to create a new life and to better protect our kids. And around me, in my region, there are many other families, dozens of them, who have come from BC and Ontario. And we came here because we saw this place as the last bastion of sanity. Scott Moe and the Saskatchewan Party are looked at very fondly and thought of very highly in the rest of Canada among those who are sane. So much so that we left all behind to come here and be part of this place. Not to change it, but to encourage it to move further down the road that it's already going down. This place can be a mecca for the family person. You want to talk about provincial growth, you want to talk about population growth, you want to grow out that GDP. Adopt sane policies that promote the family, that promote healthy demographics, that protect children from this transgender nonsense. We were promised, Premier Mo, a parental bill of rights. That needs to be delivered. And one of the things that you said in the dying days of the campaign was that you would do something about this gender nonsense in the bathrooms. I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's a good plan for Saskatchewan to think that that is enough. We have an opportunity here to make this place a magnet for like minds. Look, if people who are demanding an apology from you for so-called targeting their family, which you did not do, first off, don't cave. But if they really feel like they're being discriminated against, they have options. Just like I had options. Leave. Go to one of the other provinces that is more than happy to help you destroy your children forever. Saskatchewan needs to be a place for sanity. And we can be. And it's not just on this transgender file. It's on the topic of immigration. It's on the topics of resource development. If you're worried, and this may be the political litmus here, you saw what happened in Regina and you saw what happened in Saskatoon, and you think that you maybe lost the election because of social policy, you're wrong. In those places, you didn't lose the election, forgive me, I misspoke, that you lost those seats because of social policy. That's not why. There's a crime problem, and there's a drug problem. And you need to get tough on those things. If you clean the streets up, if you restore order for the lawful, you'll win those seats back. You didn't lose them because you want to protect kids from being sterilized, because you want to protect kids from mental and physical abuse by parents who should know better, but like the attention, but are lost in this sea of perversion. Saskatchewan doesn't have to be like every other place. In fact, it shouldn't be. The whole reason I'm here and the families around me are here is because it wasn't like every other place. You need to further distinguish yourself. We need to further distinguish ourselves. We need to further protect this place and its uniqueness as a distinct society. The rest of the country, and indeed many parts of the Western world, are going to suffer the consequences of demonizing normal family dynamics, by demonizing the nuclear family, by reducing demographic viability. We can draw people here. And while they suffer, we can prosper. And you're in a position to make that happen, Premier Mo. You're in a position, you and the Sask Party, to codify this. Don't back down now. One of the biggest risks for the Saskatchewan Party in the future is that you will lose the rural support to another party. Remember that there was a huge voter turnout in the rural areas, and you won more than 50% of the popular vote. But, on the flip side, a couple thousand votes here and there in a few ridings, and all of a sudden, Saskatchewan is being governed by the NDP, even though the NDP would have lost the popular vote by at least 10 points. Don't misinterpret that. It wasn't because of your signals towards sanity when it comes to parental rights and getting rid of this transgender nonsense in our schools. It's because of crime and the drug problem. That's why. So do the right thing. Protect our kids. Build Saskatchewan into a mecca for the sane family. I hope you listen. Because if you come out and you apologize now and you go soft on this now, that is the death knell of the Saskatchewan Party. Believe me. The second thing I want to talk about today is just, it's Ukraine. And it's the sick support for lowering the age of conscription. They've already killed off so many men in their prime that they're having a hard time finding more men in their prime to throw into the meat grinder of the front line. So they want to lower the age of conscription. They want to go down to 18. They want to start throwing teenagers into the maw. There's going to be nothing left and nothing to show for it. There's no victory here. NATO talking about arming Ukraine with nuclear weapons? What are we doing? That's just the end of the world. All of these people who are talking, like Lindsey Graham, has got to be one of the most disgusting senators in the United States. And he says, you're in the fight for your lives. So the only way to preserve your life is to throw more of your life away in a useless war that can't be won by the Ukrainians. The only thing that can happen is more people outside of Ukraine can be drawn in and killed. That's it. That's why peace was within reach several times before the war started, and peace was within reach after the war started. The West is on a mission of destruction. They're so desperate to escape responsibility and being held accountable for their decisions on many fronts that they're willing to risk the destruction of the planet before Trump gets into office. And there's no guarantee of peace, but at least we have a chance for peace. And if we use the backdrop of the deals that were already ready to be signed by both sides that the West torpedoed, peace is readily achievable. We're risking World War III over a war that can't be won. The Ukrainian people, two-thirds of them, want an end to this war because they're sick and tired of watching their people die uselessly. The world of opinion, the people of the world, want a peaceful resolution in Ukraine. The only people who want to keep this war going right now are the leadership of the West. Not even Putin wants this war to continue. When do we restore sanity? When do we say the killing's enough? How many sons and daughters have to die? Who's going to plow the fields? Who's going to take care of Ukraine? Who's going to rebuild when this is all over with? All these lives thrown away uselessly. It never had to happen. This war was a creation of Western foreign policy. That's history. Anybody telling you otherwise is playing ideology and playing politics. And most of the people who are vehemently in support of this war still are sitting nice, and so they think safe, far from the front lines. Western pundits and leaders, so-called leaders, commentators, recruiters on behalf of intelligence services and military services in Western countries who are trying to find volunteers to also go and die in the war. I heard recently of a young man not far from me who bought into the propaganda, went over to Ukraine to volunteer, and came home in a body bag. It's got to end. It's going nowhere. The only solution now is a peaceful resolution or total destruction. And now Putin, who's been fighting this war with the gloves on. Does anybody have any concept of how quickly the Russians can overrun the entirety of Ukraine if they choose to? They haven't unleashed a fraction of their kinetic energy. So far, they've been content to make very slow and steady gains, which is what they've been doing. Kursk is just a distraction. It's a prolonged battle of the Bulge. But if they wanted to, if they weren't content to just let the West waste time and resources and money throwing lives away in Ukraine, they could overrun the nation. And maybe it's getting close to time that they do make that decision. I read today that Putin is talking about using hypersonic missiles to target decision making. It's like a veiled threat against the government itself. Probably the only time the government's going to pay attention is when their own lives are on the line, because right now all they do is sit behind their desks as cowards, send out their thugs to round people up in the street, give them poor training, and throw them at the front line to die. If you're on X or you're on social media, you've seen the truth. Rounding men up in the streets. Because nobody wants to fight the war in Ukraine anymore. They want peace. It's our responsibility to stop the killing, to not listen to the Lindsey Grahams, to not listen to Zelensky, who lies, who money launders, who deceives, whose government is illegal to begin with, unconstitutional, who has stayed in office long past its mandated end. We're not supporting good people. And you can say the Russians aren't good people either, and I'm fine with that. What we have in Ukraine is competing interests. And like I've said in previous videos, we live in a multipolar world where interests are going to have to be respected or we are all going to die. That's not hyperbole. That's reality. Time we wake up. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I will see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.